Suzanne Simard is a Canadian forestry scientist and conservationist who told a personal story of how and why she came to value forests so very much, enough to make them her life's work. In 2016, she presented a TED Talk titled How Trees Talk to Each Other, and she draws us right in. She begins, "Imagine you're walking through a forest. I'm guessing you're thinking of a collection of trees, what we foresters call a stand, with their rugged stems and their beautiful crowns. Yes, trees are the foundation of forests, but a forest is much more than what you see. And today, I want to change the way you think about forests. You see, underground, there is this other world, a world of infinite biological pathways that connect trees and allow them to communicate and allow the forest to behave as though it is a single organism. It might remind you of a sort of intelligence. How do I know this? Here's my story. I grew up in the forests of British Columbia. I used to lie on the forest floor and stare up at the tree crowns. They were giants. My grandfather was a giant, too. He was a horse logger, and he used to selectively cut cedar poles from the inland rainforest. Grandpa taught me about the quiet and cohesive ways of the woods and how my family was knit into it. So I followed in Grandpa's footsteps. He and I had this curiosity about forests, and my first big aha moment was at the outhouse by our lake. Our poor dog Jigs had slipped and fallen into the pit. So Grandpa ran up with his shovel to rescue the poor dog. He was down there, swimming in the muck. But as Grandpa dug through that forest floor, I became fascinated with the roots. And under that, what I learned later was the white mycelium. And under that, the red and yellow mineral horizons. Eventually, Grandpa and I rescued the poor dog. But it was at that moment when I realized that that palette of roots and soil was really the foundation of the forest. And I wanted to know more, so I studied forestry. But soon I found myself working alongside the powerful people in charge of the commercial harvest. The extent of the clear-cutting was alarming, and I soon found myself conflicted by my part in it. So I went back to school, and I studied my other world. You see, scientists had just discovered in the laboratory in vitro that one pine seedling root could transmit carbon to another pine seedling root. But this was in the laboratory, and I wondered, could this happen in real forests? I thought, yes. Trees in real forests might also share information below ground, but this was really controversial, and some people thought I was crazy, and I had a really hard time getting research funding. But I persevered, and I eventually conducted some experiments deep in the forest 25 years ago. The first day of the experiment, we got out to our plot, and a grizzly bear and her cub chased us off. So I came back the next day, and Mama Grizzly and her cub were gone. I waited an hour, and I figured it would take this long for the trees to suck up the carbon dioxide through photosynthesis, turn it into sugars, send it down into their roots. So I rolled down my window, and I checked for Mama Grizzly. Oh, good, she's over there eating her huckleberries. So I got out of the truck, and I got to work. I went to my first bag with the birch. I pulled the bag off. I ran my Geiger counter over its leaves. Perfect! The birch had taken up the radioactive gas. Then, the moment of truth. I went over to the fir tree. I pulled off its bag. I ran the Geiger counter up its needles, and I heard the most beautiful sound. It was the sound of birch talking to fir. And birch was saying, "Hey, can I help you?" And the fir was saying, "Yeah, can you send me some of your carbon? Because somebody threw a shade cloth over me." I was so excited. I ran from plot to plot, and I checked all 80 samples. The evidence was clear. And at that moment, everything came into focus for me. I knew I had found something big, something that would change the way we look at how trees interact in forests, from not just competitors, but to cooperators. And I had found solid evidence of this massive below-ground communications network, the other world. You see, the biggest, darkest nodes in the forest are the busiest nodes. We call those hub trees, or more fondly, mother trees, because it turns out that those hub trees nurture their young, the ones growing in the understory. And if you can see those yellow dots, those are the young seedlings that have established within the network of the old mother trees. In a single forest, a mother tree can be connected to hundreds of other trees. And using our isotope tracers, we've found that mother trees will send their excess carbon through the network to the understory seedlings. And we've associated this with increased seedling survival by 4 times. Thinking more broadly, now we know we all favor our own children. And I wondered, could Douglas fir recognize its own kin, like Mama Grizzly and her cub? So we set out about an experiment, and we grew mother trees with kin and with strangers' seedlings. And it turns out they do recognize their kin. Mother trees colonize their kin with bigger networks. They send them more carbon below ground. They even reduce their own root competition to make elbow room for their kids. When mother trees are injured or dying, they also send messages of wisdom on to the next generation of seedlings. Through back and forth conversations, we've learned that trees increase the resilience of the whole community. It probably reminds you of your own social communities and our families. Words of Dr. Suzanne Simard, Canadian forestry scientist and conservationist, author of a popular study titled Finding the Mother Tree. Highlights here from a TED Talk titled How Trees Talk to Each Other, delivered in July 2016. Dr. Simard was talking in scientific terms here, but she framed her research in personal terms, describing her close bond with her grandfather, for example, and the bond between Mama Bear and her cub. We can do our own experiments. What if we were to draw on some of the figures we just encountered in her presentation? How about a mother tree? If we were to dream about a living, breathing entity called a mother tree, what would she be like? She and her little ones, her seedlings, would have lessons for all of us about sharing and cooperating for the good of the individuals and for the whole community, as Dr. Simard suggested. And what if one day a very talented creative artist sat in Brandon Park in Williamsport and let her imagination soar? What if she imagined trees actually talking with each other? What if the animals in the forest actually were to sing? That's what happened with Olivia Taliaferri, an author, filmmaker, and mother who has written an original musical and composed much of the score. We're told Stoa, a new musical journey, follows the journey of Stoa, a devoted mother bear separated from her cub, John Bear. As they each navigate the forest in search of one another, their parallel adventures explore the power of trust, instinct, and the quiet courage found in the natural world. Stoa is rooted in the spirit of American folklore and blends story and song to celebrate the timeless bond between parent and child, and the resilience it takes to find our way home when the path ahead grows uncertain. Along the way, Stoa and John Bear encounter a host of woodland friends who remind them that even in moments of fear or doubt, connection is what carries us forward. Stoa, a new musical journey, will make its stage debut at Lycoming College's Clark Chapel in Williamsport. It opens on January 9th and will run through the 18th. And we were fortunate enough to meet a number of those bringing Stoa to life, including Stoa herself. Jared Whitford is producer, director, and designer. And he brought together Sarah Sneed, who is Stoa, Bibi Tabakman, who plays Zelby and other characters, Samantha Lee Mason, who creates the character of Hype the Hare and other roles, and Kyla Brookhart, who is Sam B. and takes other roles. We spoke by phone with all of them, and how appropriate it was that the director, Jared Whitford, sets the scene for us.
Stoa, A New Musical Journey is a musical, 45-minute children's musical that is a story in which nature, all things are possible. It's a story of a mother bear who gets tragically separated from her cub, and they go on a parallel journey to find each other and find their strength and learn that in nature, we're all connected.
Now, it's a family musical.
Oh, absolutely. This is prime for kids, family. You know, the younger the kid, the better, truly.
Who had the vision? Who had the dream of Stoa?
So my collaborator, Olivia Tagliaferri, wrote the book and the music. And then there's additional music by Sarah Keeley Decker, who also serves as the music director for the production, and some additional material by myself. So it's been such a collaboration for 7 years. We started this project in April of 2019. So it's been almost 7 years.
Everybody who is involved in any creative endeavor knows how hard it is to bring to the stage any Neil Simon property, let alone some new musical, a musical for children. What was the secret? Was it collaboration, not just with all of you, but with the community as well?
So, yeah, it's been such a communal. So Olivia is a Williamsport native, pretty respected. She makes documentaries. She also is an Italian restaurant owner. She's very well respected in Williamsport. And I think with her and I's, and Sarah Keeley Decker, who's a voice teacher, she's also a music faculty at Lycoming College. With the three of us, it's kind of this perfect storm where the community wanted to see this happen. So we were able to really come together as a group to put on this show. And then, you know, a part of the development has also been in the last 7 days as the actors have come into the room and we've really looked at this script that, you know, hasn't been spoken out loud by professional actors ever. So it was really great to get their insight as well into crafting the show that people are going to see on Friday, opening this Friday.
Were there rewrites along the way? If we watch movies, we know about playwrights tearing their hair out and sitting in the rehearsals and saying, no, no, that's not right. Let me just scratch, scratch, scratch.
Playwrights and directors, right? So, yeah, I've been attached to this show pretty much since its first reading, which was in 2019. The show was about 32 songs and about 2 hours and 45 minutes of material. And over the past 7 years, we have refined, really drilled down to what's the message we want to tell, what's the story we want to tell. So I've been attached to it in the role of show doctor since day one, basically. So there's been so many rewrites. I think even just since rehearsal, we're on our third script in the rehearsal room.
And ultimately, it's a journey. That's right there in the title. So you are inviting us to go along, as you described it, with the separated mom and baby bear and the parallel journey, and we hope happily ever after at the end. It's sort of like Wizard of Oz, a journey, and they're going to learn something about each other, and we are too. Is that the idea?
Absolutely, absolutely. As Wizard of Oz is the true American fairy tale, I think Stoa is a story for our community here in Williamsport. I mean, like, it's very rooted in nature. And if you know anything about Williamsport, it's a very nature place. There's lots of trails. There's lots of, you know, even some of the show was written on some of the trails, hiking trails here in Williamsport. So it's a love letter to nature. It's a love letter to family and the journey that we go on as individuals.
You're talking about Williamsport and its relationship to the environment and nature. We know, whether it was a good history or not, lumbering and trees was so big.
Yeah. And I think the backdrop of the lumber, we don't really go into the lumber question in this show, but I just think like the backdrop of rural forested Pennsylvania is just in the DNA of this show.
Penn's Woods, right?
Yes, Penn's Woods, exactly.
Now, why don't you introduce us to the individuals who are with you?
Yeah, so we'll start with the two who aren't here. Our John Bears are local elementary school children. They're two little boys who are just such incredible actors. And this is their first gig. Their first gig as professional actors, getting to work with some really wonderful people and learn from really wonderful actors in the room. We have Wesley, who is in sixth grade, and we have Grayson, who's in fourth grade. So both of them are so adorable, and they share the role of John Bear. So they alternate nights. It's such a huge role. The show revolves around the story of John Bear. So we're really excited that we have two young children going back and forth, and they're learning so much from each other and the other actors in the room. So I'll start with our mama bear, Stoa. Her name is Sarah Sneed, and she comes to us from the Cape Cod region of Massachusetts, I hear, not Connecticut, which I thought Cape Cod was in Connecticut. The actors are laughing because it was 15 minutes ago that I got a geography lesson. So Sarah was brought to this project through a national casting search. We were looking for the right fit for Stoa, and it was a particular role to cast, and Sarah fell into it, and we were so happy to have her. This is my first time working with her, so it's been such an honor to have her in and out of the rehearsal room, and what she's bringing to the role, the heart of the role. I think Stoa is the heart of the show, so what she has brought to the role is just, I'm really excited to share that with audiences.
Sarah, wonderful to have a chance to talk with you. And of course, the question is, any actor wants to keep acting and keep getting roles, but you must have been particularly drawn to this one, to Stoa, to come from Massachusetts out into the almost middle of Pennsylvania. What drew you to Stoa?
Well, I certainly love being a part of an original creative process and working with such creative individuals. It's a unique show that it's very well rooted in the kind of Appalachian folklore area. And it also speaks to me as a mother. The writer, Olivia and Sarah Decker, they're both mothers. And I understand it was very important to them that Stoa also be a mother and kind of share that love of children and what it means to protect your children and sacrifice yourself for your children in some ways. So that was very important to me. And the music is just simply beautiful and darling and precious. And I have very much enjoyed meeting these other professional actors and having an opportunity to work with them. Jared's been amazing. Sarah has been incredible, our music director as well. And I'm looking forward to meeting our pit of musicians. I'm very excited to spend time with them as well. So I feel like I really lucked out.
How do you translate to the audience your bareness, the bear-like? Do you have some costume that suggests that you're a bear, or is it in your body language? How does your character make that clear?
Well, we do have some costuming. It's on the minimal side, but it certainly indicates your character, which I'll leave that up to your imagination. But it's minimal. The set is incredibly cute. It's darling. And there are many other creatures, animals involved in the show. So it's indicated in the costuming, yes.
You are tied to Massachusetts and Cape Cod, and you mentioned the Appalachian folklore ties to this show. Because you have ties to Cape Cod, are there things about the Wampanoags and the native traditions there that, if not directly related, inform what you're doing?
I think we have some similar folklore. Of course, we're far more into the ocean, the sea, and like selkies and things of that nature, mermaids. So a little bit more mythical creatures. But of course, we have seals and whales and sharks out there and all kinds of different sea life. Cape Cod is kind of a a more naturalistic area as well. It's not overdeveloped. It's been left very natural, in a very natural state. So I feel like that ties Cape Cod to Williamsport the way that I've seen it and come to know it in the last week.
Were you introduced to theater through theater that was created for children or young people, or were you acting in school? Were there productions like this that were important to you when you were little?
Well, I've been on a stage since I was about 4 in various productions and capacities and on TV and movies and things of that nature. So I've been doing this for a long time. I haven't had an opportunity to do as much original work as I would like to, but now that I've got a taste for it, I'll probably do a lot more.
Thank you.
So next is Bebe Tabakman, who plays our villain, Zelby. There is a villain, because in every good children's musical, there has to be a delicious villain character to set the story off, to give us that point of conflict. And so Bebe and I have known each other for going on over 10 years. It's like 13 years? 13 years. We met our first day of college. So I will say, specifically, I said to her, I'm going to hire you when I have the ability to, and we will work together. We will be constant collaborators. And this is my second time being able to bring Bebe to Williamsport. She came 2 years ago to do the Williamsport Symphony Orchestra. We did our Broadway holiday concert that I directed. So she was a guest performer in that. So I'm really happy to bring Bebe back to Williamsport to be originating this villain role. She's a New York native, and Bebe is performing courtesy of Actors Equity Association. So we're really excited to have the union of actors involved in this production. I'll hand the phone over to her.
Welcome back, Bebe. Let me just ask you, first of all, you've known Jared for all those years. You've worked with him with the symphony, but this is now a stage production. He wouldn't say it, so you have to say it. What do you admire about Jared as a director or a theater person through and through?
I mean, where do I begin? I met Jared at Point Park when he was a costume design major, and I remember him saying that he was destined for more and that he really was passionate about directing. So when I got to work with him in college, he helped me prep for my Into the Woods audition, and working with him then, I was truly blown away by his talent. And now to see him over a decade later running his own company, he does so much for the show. He's a producer, he's a designer, he's a director. He's truly in his element, and the way he talks to everyone, he's so patient with us, and he's always checking in with us. Does this feel good to you? How can I help you? What should we change? So he's a very collaborative and fun director. You never know what he's going to say in a very fun way.
Give us a sense of the character that you are developing, and with these dear characters on stage, how do you find it within yourself? How do you channel your inner villain?
Well, this is my second time playing a villain in a children's show. I got to play a character called Mayor Imperia in a musical called Stone Soup years ago in college. And Jared was very inspired by that character, and with this one said he wanted me to channel her. So in a way, Mayor Imperia is here. Also, Ursula from The Little Mermaid gives my character some inspiration. And honestly, my grandmothers, I'm leaning into some of their mannerisms and things that they say. So I'm a combination of an evil mayor, Ursula, grandma. Yeah, and I'm very thankful Jared has given me the opportunity to do a lot of improv in the show. Back in New York, I perform improv and musical improv off-Broadway, so that's really my element. So the fact that he's giving me so much freedom to really let loose with this character is so much fun. So yeah, that's little Zelby, and without giving away too much, I'll introduce you to Zelby. This is Zelby. Nice to meet you. I've never done a podcast, but I'm willing to try.
You have attitude. We love
it. Thank you, darling. Oh, I got to keep you around.
We were talking with Sarah about how she channels her bareness, and it's not just the costume, it's not just the body language, it's the voice as well.
Oh, yes, absolutely. It really ties everything together.
We look forward to having you back in Williamsport for number 3 when it happens.
Oh, yes. I'll see you then.
Thank you, Bebe. Jared?
Next is Kyla Brookhart, who is a Danville. I met her through Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble. She was an intern when I started at the company in 2023. She was a high school intern. She is now on break from her freshman semester at Ithaca College, which is, I don't know if you know anything about Ithaca College, but it's not an easy school to get into. So it's an honor that she is there. And I'm so happy that her break worked out and she's here. She's one of my, I've watched her go through high school and just grow as a performer. She's one of my favorite high school kids that I ever gotten to watch. And I'm so happy she's working on this show with us. And so she was introduced through BTE and we got lucky to have her.
Well, welcome, Kyla. And I want you, if you don't mind, to say some wonderful things about the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble. As a theater major, you know what's out there. You know what's in New York and what's on the touring circuit. And you know the rep companies and so forth. But Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble is pretty special, isn't it?
Oh, yes, definitely. Getting to be an intern there starting at, I think, 16 years old was so valuable to me. And I didn't get to really act in any of the shows with the professional actors, but I did get to work with them a lot. I was backstage with them. I was helping them with whatever they needed. I was working with a lot of the youth actors as well. And I think being an intern at such professional theater really made me realize that was something I did want to do. Because getting to watch them and how much joy they found in being part of, even though it's a small company, a super special and a caring company, they all act like family there. And it made me realize that was a space I could be in for the rest of my life.
Have you decided how and what you're going to concentrate in? Or right now, are you doing the spread in terms of coursework and practical experience at Ithaca?
Well, I'm an acting major, so hopefully I will get to work on a lot of new works. This is why DOA was so special to me, because I have a real interest in being in new plays and musicals. So a big focus for Ithaca is teaching us how to take on original work. So I am an acting major, and I'll focus on that for my 4 years, but I get to do a lot of musical theater as well. And they do let us dabble in the production aspects, either being in crew or costuming. So that's really special because I get a little taste of everything.
So tell us what you're bringing to this production then, this original production that is a musical, and how are you finding it, and how is it already informing your understanding of the kinds of things you'll go back to after the break is over and be thinking about?
Well, being part of an original musical is definitely a big feat, and it was a little scary at first when Jared told me. But the way he pitched it to me was I get to work with professional actors to bring the arts to the youth. And as a local, that was really special to me because obviously watching productions like STOA made me realize as a kid I wanted to do theater. So getting to do that and then seeing how real professional actors work has given me a lot of insight into how to handle rehearsal processes, especially for new work with all this new lyrics and changing scripts, and also such a quick rehearsal process, which can be daunting. But seeing how easily the professionals take it on and their process has been super helpful, and how I can approach any musical, whether it's new or done before in any sense, it's just been super great to see that and get to work with them.
That's what we want to hear, and it is so important for young people to be exposed to good theater and get an understanding of being in the presence of live actors, actors who are living and breathing and right there in the room with the little ones, and who knows how many will be touched by what you all are doing. Wonderful to meet you, Kyla. I hope you keep in touch with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
And then our last is Samantha Lee Mason, which also is a collaborator I've been working with now for 3 years about. We started at Millbrook Playhouse in A Closer Walk with Patsy Cline, and then I brought her to Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble last spring, if you recall, to play Patsy there again. So again, a constant collaborator. I'm so blessed that I got to bring some new people into this production, someone I've looked up to, and then two constant collaborators with me, two people I've really been looking forward to. So Samantha is back in Williamsport, and she is also joining the production.
Samantha, you were free to do this. Is it as much that you value working with Jared as you value the story being told, both?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a mixture of a lot of things that I love this project, Jared Whitford being one of them. So I actually have a lot of experience working in theater for young audience shows. And so I had taken a little bit of a break from TYA to focus on some other projects. but it was definitely an exciting thing to get to come back to for this project specifically, because it's a new show, because I really trust Jared when it comes to his direction. And also I knew that he was bringing together this really wonderful group of people. And so it's definitely an honor to be considered among them and get to work with everybody. So it's been nice to kind of marry my love for children's theater and getting to work on new fun collaborative projects.
How do you describe your role?
So I play a couple of different roles. I play a squirrel. I also am part of the Mother Tree. There's a bunch of us that play Mother Tree at different times in the story, who's kind of a through line throughout the entire piece. I also play a fun country chipmunk, and I also play, I play Zelby's sidekick, so I get to be a little evil too. So I really run the gambit for all the characters that I get to bring to life.
Do you have a song either with everybody else or a song of your own that you delight in?
Oh, yes. I get to do a lot of different songs throughout the show. Probably my favorite one is the one I get to do as Hype Hair, who's Zelby's sidekick. It's a really fun kind of showman-y number. I got to bring a little bit of jazz into it. I have a little bit of a jazz background, so that's always super fun for me to do. And I know that some of my castmates were talking about different vocal choices, but I have some very interesting accents that everybody will get to hear throughout the show.
And I heard that you're all looking forward to getting to work with the musicians in the pit, and that must be a delight for all of you. What does it mean for you? Because you've done theater for so long, it must make such a difference.
It really does. There's nothing better than being up there with live musicians. And actually, when I was doing Patsy Cline, the musicians were really like part of the show. And so I got to be very close with all of them. And our drummer that we had in the Bloomsburg Theater Ensemble version of Patsy Cline, Gretchen Carpenter, we got to be really close throughout that process. And she's our drummer for this show too. And so it's been really nice to get to spend some time with her again. And she's really killing it in this show too.
Jared, can we take it back to you?
Yeah, I'd love that.
People, if they see the title of the piece in print, they'll notice that the name of the bear is all caps, STOA. Would it spoil something if you explained that to us?
I think that was just a graphic design choice that went over in the branding. And I think the STOA being an original, it's interesting you bring this up, because not oftentimes are we seeing original stories. STOA doesn't come from anything. It doesn't stand for anything. It's not an acronym. It's an original story about a mother bear that just doesn't happen as often as we'd like in material. We're either getting a movie musical, or a musical based on a book, or a musical based on someone's life. Like, this is a completely organic, original story. And so I don't know that it meant anything then, but I think, you know, as you think about it, that's kind of, maybe that's why the branding guidelines has gone that way.
Is there a future for STOA, the musical journey?
You know, I think my collaborators, Olivia, who is the composer and book writer and also my co-producer, she has a background, specifically she's worked for the state government and worked for the House of Representatives, House Rep. She was their chief of staff. I think she really would love to see this have a future life after this production. We've already kind of talked about, you know, I made the decision that after the first couple days of rehearsal, we were going to freeze the script and score, meaning we weren't going to make any changes. So we're already talking about what changes we want to make for the next production. So I think it will have a life. I know in the development of this, I was very keen on the Theater for Young Audiences model of theater and task sizing and how people, and like there's a certain formula. And that was kind of the formula I used as I was show doctoring the material that was given to me to build this show. So I do think there's going to be a future life. And I think we're going to be looking forward to hearing what audiences have to say and see how we can make it better for the next production.
Well, tell us how we can see this production then.
Yeah, so opening night is Friday, January 9th, and it's at Clark Chapel on Lycoming College's campus.
So Lycoming College has been a partner in this production. They felt so strongly about the art that is being made in Williamsport, Pennsylvania by Williamsport natives that they felt very strongly about being a partner in this production. So it's at Clark Chapel at Lycoming College, and it opens this Friday. It runs this weekend and next weekend. You can get tickets at the door. You can also get tickets at Olivia's restaurant, Tags Takeout, which is on Market Street in Williamsport, or you can get it online at www.stoabear.com. I would be remiss not to talk about next Saturday the 17th. There is a sensory-friendly production. Our music director, Sarah Keeley Decker, is in her final chapters of becoming a music therapist. And so it was really important for her to do a sensory-friendly production. So we're doing that next Saturday. And also, the Rotary Clubs of Lycoming County have joined together to be a sponsor on this production to have elementary school matinees to pay for elementary schools to come see this production next week. So there's going to be a lot of great ways for not only just our community to come support the production, but for us to get in front of kids and see kids live, getting to see professional theater here in Pennsylvania. It's so exciting.
Jared Whitford, producer, director, and designer, and probably more, of STOA, a new musical journey. He brought together Sarah Sneed, who plays STOA, Bibi Tabakman, who is Zelby, and other characters, Samantha Lee Mason, Hype the Hare, and she also has other roles, and Kyla Brookhart of Danville, who plays Sam B, and also other roles. Jared told us about the creative team, Olivia Taliaferri, who is writer, composer, and co-producer, and Sarah Keeley Decker, music director and co-composer. And the show, as Jared just told us, will have its premiere tomorrow evening. That's Friday, January 9th at 7:30, and that's at Clark Chapel on the campus of Lycoming College in Williamsport. There are shows this weekend, Saturday at 7 and a Sunday matinee at 2. Then, Friday, January 16th at 7, and then two shows Saturday. Saturday, January 17th at 2 is the sensory-friendly performance, and there is an evening performance on Saturday, January 17th as well. It's at 7 o'clock. The run concludes on Sunday, January 18th, with a matinee at 2. Again, it's Clark Chapel, Lycoming College, Williamsport. And for all the information you need, stoabear.com, stoabear.com. And they tell us that there is an opening night community event titled Arts in the Wilds. That's tomorrow evening at 6, and that's at the Krapf Gateway Center at Lycoming. And you're invited to attend. It's free. It's a discussion with the creative team of STOA and State Rep Jamie Flick and regional arts leaders. The conversation will explore how creative, nature-rooted storytelling can expand youth opportunities and strengthen community identity right here in that region. STOABear.com.